The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And he said, I love you, but I don't know if you're the one.
Next, CBN News anchor Wendy Griffith had her happily ever after dreams shattered by a man she loved.
Really, it's a devastating thing to hear. And so I tell ladies now, you know, if I could just relive that moment, I would say, you know what, you can take your butt and your butt and get back in your car and go back to where you came from.
Stay tuned to find out how God used heartbreak to instill value.
Joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty and this is James.
We are thrilled to have Wendy Griffith with us. She has written a book, You Are a Prize to Be Won, Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best. Now, she's a blessing. Some of you see her on CBN. You've seen her in various interview settings and situations, and you've seen her there when she actually hosts the program. She's really, I think, a beautiful person and a very gifted person, but she really has a message that I think everyone needs to hear, and I'd like to ask you to welcome Wendy to Life Today. Would you do that? Wendy, we're glad you're here.
So great to be here.
I want you, because I want to cover the ground that you get a whole book to cover it as thoroughly as it would be meaningful for people to hear and know, but I want you just to tell us what led you to write this book, and on the back, I think maybe this has a little bit to do with it. There should never be a but after the words, I love you, but. That's kind of a...
I like the way you say that. Well, why did I write the book? Because the Lord told me to write about my test. My test was heartbreak. It was, anybody who's been through heartache knows it's the most painful thing that you can ever go through. And it felt very much like a death. And earlier we were talking about loss and pain, and we all started crying at dinner because that's what it felt like to me, like a death. And I was, you know, in my 40s, mid-40s, never been married, met a guy and thought he was the one. I thought my prince, you know, had finally come. And we dated, whirlwind dating for a year. Every weekend, he lived out of town, so we saw each other like every weekend for a year. And he was a Christian, never been married, and I thought we were on our way. And at the end of a year, when I was expecting, perhaps, hopefully, prayerfully, a ring, instead he said, the Lord says, I have to give you back. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated. It was like all of my dreams of happily ever after just crumbled, and I didn't understand. I thought... well, in my mind, I thought I was going to get exactly what I wanted, which was to be wanted, which was to get a proposal, was to hear those words, will you marry me? And in fact, it was just the opposite. And I didn't know what to do with that pain, but I heard God say, write about your test. And it was interesting because the morning that he broke up with me, I was in my kitchen where I normally do my devotionals, and I heard in my head really loud, not audibly, but I could hear test, test, test. And I thought, no, 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 I don't want to be tested. And I kept, you know, where it just wouldn't go away, that voice. Like I tried to, you know, make some breakfast or do something else, but I just kept hearing test, test, test. And I just finally gave up. I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what this means, but if you want to test my heart, I belong to you. And it was that night, that very night, that he broke up with me. And so, yeah, that's the nutshell version.
Well, you didn't really have any idea that the test would come that way.
No, not 12 hours later. I didn't know it was going to come that night.
Yeah.
But when I set out to write the book, it was definitely not my idea, because who wants to relive all these things, but it was therapeutic in a way, and I really discovered something in writing it, and in the weeks and days after the breakup, was that I had definitely loved him and had definitely given my heart to him, but I had not loved myself. And it's interesting, because the anger phase comes a little bit, after the shock, and then the anger phase sort of jokingly, I say, brings clarity. And I realized, and it helps you, because you realize, you know, I shouldn't have put up with an I love you, but when, and I'll tell you that story, when, you know, every girl wants to hear the words I love you from the guy she's in love with. And we'd been dating about 5 months, and he had met me at the airport that night, and we had, I'd come back from an assignment with CBN. I was in Atlanta, and he met me at the airport, and we went out to dinner, and he said, I came here to tell you that I love you, but I don't know if you're the one. And it was really loud in this restaurant, so I said, could you please repeat that? And he said, I love you, but I don't know if you're the one. And I remember thinking, why do I feel sick to my, why don't I want to eat anymore? Why doesn't this feel good? I was like a deer in headlights. I didn't understand, because I didn't know that I didn't know my value at the time. But what I say to women is, there should never be a but after I love you. That but simply means I'm leaving my options open. You know, I might like you a lot. I might even love you, but, you know, I am not ready to walk down the aisle with you. I'm not ready to put a ring on your finger. And really, it's a devastating thing to hear. And so I tell ladies now, you know, if I could just relive that moment, I would say, you know what, you can take your butt and your butt and get back in your car and go back to where you came from, because every woman and every man is worth an I love you. You thought I was going to be all ladylike, James. I told you I was a Hatfield. Every woman deserves an I love you, period. And if a man is leaving an out clause or a loophole, then, you know, it's time to tell him to.
But do you think at the same time he was trying to be honest, and he was maybe struggling with his own feelings and emotions, and he's in his, you say you believe he's a Christian, you believe he loved the Lord. Mm-hmm. Is that what you sensed? And because of all of that, because you wouldn't have given your heart to him if you didn't think God had his heart. I just wonder if he was really saying, I've got to work through this. I wonder if he's struggling. He may be watching right now. And I want to believe that you were trying to be totally honest. I don't think we realize sometimes how our total honesty can devastate someone. But I think what you learned from it was that there wasn't really anything he could have said that would have caused you to make some reassessment and look at your own opinion and attitude toward yourself and learn things you needed perhaps to learn. Is that correct? Did that happen, actually?
Definitely learned something, but I didn't learn it till later, because at the time, I was so desperate to hear those words that I took the butt. And it doesn't mean that, yes, of course, he was obviously trying to be honest, but he wasn't ready. And if you're not ready to say, I love you, period, then don't say it.
You just said you didn't love yourself. Why didn't you?
And, well, when you know your value, it is a game changer. Why didn't I love myself is a good question. And I think, you know, we were talking earlier at dinner, and it doesn't matter how successful you are, how educated you are, how beautiful you are. I grew up in a home with a parent who was very critical. And I think you see yourself through that eyes, that I never measure up, I'm not good enough. And
you kind of got a condemner in the invisible world that's accusing you anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, the beginning of time. So we have Satan, who hates us anyway, and especially hates women. And so, you know, we're struggling anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for past relationships. And I think it is so interesting that it doesn't matter how you think, you know, well, here I am, you know, an international news anchor and traveling the globe, and I already had one book out at the time, and what I was sensing from this man I was dating was, you're not enough, you're not doing enough, you're not quite enough. And it was a familiar spirit, you know, if you will.
You were hearing that in your own mind. Yeah. You didn't need him.
I know.
He just actually put you felt in words what you are already feeling and hearing about yourself, right?
But exactly. And but the thing is, what I learned through the heartbreak was that I am a pearl of great price.
You are.
And what happened was, and it took heartbreak, and it took this man breaking up with me for me to understand that.
We need to thank this guy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because about 9 months after the breakup, I was at a CBN event. It was a partner event, and one of our partners, it was a nice dinner. It was my birthday weekend, and this man I'd never seen before walked up to me. He said, "I have a word for you." I said, "Okay, and I'll receive it." He said, "Pearl of great price," and I just burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I saw you this time last year with a gentleman," and it was this guy. And he said, "The Lord spoke to me and said he wasn't the one because he wasn't willing to pay the price for the pearl of great price." And more tears. I just, it was exactly what I needed to hear. Because I was missing this. I was still, you know, mourning the loss of the relationship. And it was a great loss, you know, for me in my life. And so, you know, that's when God started to minister to me. You know, you are a pearl of great price, and just because one person doesn't see it doesn't make it untrue. Mm-hmm. And so...
So you need to see the truth.
Well, don't you believe that? Especially women, I think, we need to know our value, and only God can really give and show us that. I know, even after we married, you know, like we shared, talked about earlier, you're looking for that knight on the shining armor and the white horse and all this. And even though, I mean, God blessed me with the man he gave me, he could not give me what God wanted to give me. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he was a great encourager, which I needed, and he was a part of God showing me my value.
Right.
But it had to come from God. That God had to show me who I was in him before I could be the wife I needed to be and accept him as the husband that God wanted him to be to me, because he was not going to be able to make me. I thought he was going to be all my happiness and all this, and he's a great part of it. But that true joy has to come from the Lord.
I couldn't do what
I had to feel
God
complete
could.
In God.
Yes, exactly.
And we all do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't do God's part,
uh-uh.
No matter how hard
no
I tried.
No matter how hard
or
tried.
How sincere I was. So a God part happened in you. Now, you told us something that you learned about the importance of guarding your heart. What do you mean in that? Because you talk about it in the book.
Yeah, I dedicated a whole chapter to guarding your heart because I always thought that was a nice scripture. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. But I was not doing that. And in fact, when we first started going out, he had joked with me that he was going to win my heart. And at the time, I was like, fat chance, you know, because I'm really not that into you at this point. But then it's scary how quickly emotions can change, because 2 months later, I was head over heels. And when you're in, and so, but guarding your heart, when you break that scripture down in the Hebrew, it's so interesting because it talks about guarding it more than you guard anything else that you own, more than your house or your family or your job. Or it's about, you know, because everything is affected by what comes out of your heart. And so, and ways, you know, I talk about ways to guard your heart. And one of them is just to be discerning and keep your mouth shut, really. Because when you don't put all your cards on the table. Because when you do that, because your words are so powerful, and when you put it out there, I told him that I loved him first. And after we broke up, he told me that, that, you know, he didn't like that because he wanted to be the one to tell me. And, you know, that was just further rejection. My sister told her husband that she loved him first, and they got married and have two beautiful children. And so when I understood that saying I love you to someone could be a turnoff, there were no words to describe that kind of pain. And so I just say, you know, women, just keep your cards close to your vest, let him do the talking, find out where he's at before, you know, you put it all out there.
Yeah, I would say that to guard your heart is to be certain that our heart is really, really toward the Lord and totally committed to Him and His will. And I think one of the things that I would encourage you to have even learned on this journey is the person who does it wrong can still be an instrument of God in showing us the right. If we will be the yielded clay and God have in our heart, we'll learn. So He was reminding you to guard your heart, showing you how it right. could be easily bruised, so guard it. But at the same time, whether you even realize it or not, as you've written, you learned through that painful experience some priceless lessons that were priceless enough with the pain
yeah.
that you wanted to share them. And you wanted to share it to protect other people's hearts. And I think the thing that you would want everyone to get as they read, which I would think it's almost like a bottom line, be sure that God has your heart, that He's first in your heart,
yeah.
and that you not foolishly give your heart or be out of sync. And there's not a formula for who says, I love you first. I mean, she doesn't need to look back and say, that was it. I should have done it. Didn't play my cards right. Oh, hang on. There's not her sister did it the wrong way, and she's happily married. So the point is that there's not a formula. It's like there's not a formula for getting healed. You know, I mean, Jesus, you know, spit once and clay and healed a guy's eye. Another one, he spit twice. Another time, he didn't spit. A friend of mine, Jack Taylor, said, that's three denominations. One spit, two spit, no spit. So there's not a formula. There's a person, and there's a truth, and there's a relationship. And what I'm hearing, and even as we visit, just, you know, visiting and talking, you're on a journey, you're gifted, and whether anybody made you recognize and appreciate it or not, God wants you to know, I gave them to you. Mm. You're a treasure to me. I love you. And this is the relationship. Now we'll build other relationships from that. That's what you're hearing. It's what you're learning. And we're all learning it. And Betty and I are, well, she says, don't say. Okay, I'm 70, all right? The point is that we're still learning. And really the way we guard our heart is just really give it to Him. And you really make that clear because, see, you are a gifted communicator. You are a beautiful person. And you have tried to write something that will help people do exactly what you're saying in the subheading. Don't settle for less than God's best. Would you say thank you to Wendy for sharing her heart with you? Actually, you're sharing a heart to heal broken hearts.
That's really...
You know what it feels like.
That's my passion. I received an email from a lady who was divorced, and she had just finished my book, and she said if she hadn't read it, she would have ended up in a fetal position because her friend had just sent her a picture of her ex-husband with his new girlfriend on Valentine's Day. Mm. And so, I mean, divorced women, single women, married women, and some men are writing me
that
really like it. This, you know, it's not just women that get their hearts broken or break hearts.
And God's only one can heal it. And that's what you're driving home. And let me say to you, because if Betty and I were sitting in the room, we try to make it like we're all sitting together. God wants to hold you in His arms. He's the only one that fully understands our heart and our hurt. He's the only one who adequately and sufficiently knows how to heal it. And oftentimes that's a process. Father, I pray for everyone right now saying, I just wish somebody would hold me. And you're so anxious, God, to hold them. Let them sense that. Let them really lean on you, not their understanding. And you heal their hearts. In Jesus' name. I really thank you for sharing. The book's in the bookstores. You can go online and get it. We're going to ask you to do something that we find great joy doing. We're going to ask you to give life and love and water to desperately thirsty people. I want you to watch very closely and see what God says to you.
There are certain stories which must be told. They must be told because something must be done. Scenes which scream for intervention. The desperation that Angola's drought has created for Dominguez is one of them. But desperation is not a word which can adequately describe her circumstances. In fact, we are finding that no words can. We cannot sufficiently describe the need of Dominguez's small family. We simply must show you. You may not fully understand the nature or effects of waterborne diseases, but you probably understand that these children will not survive much longer with this as their only water. Something must be done.
And we know what must be done and what can be done. Betty, when you see that beautiful little girl and then the even younger little girl kneeling down there at the last, when you see them get that water, what goes on?
It breaks my heart. I want to say, no, no, honey, don't do that. It's not good for you. But when that's the only source they have, that's the only place they have to go to get a drink of water, and they get thirsty. They have to have water. It just breaks my heart because I know they don't know what it's doing to their little bodies, but they will drink it until we offer them something else. And that something else is fresh, clean water that we get from drilling the wells in their areas to help them. Let's give them a choice. I'll just want to be sure, and I know you would be sure too, they're going to go for the clean water. They're going to see the purity of it and want that water. So please help us.
Well, these children and their families, you know, they've never even seen a well. But when they see the water come out of the ground, or they see the functioning, mechanically operated well in their area, I mean, it's like a party. It's like a celebration. And they know what it means. Now, we want you to help us do something very special that someone like you, a few of our friends, knowing the crisis as an example that we've been telling you about in Angola, and we're drilling wells in 20 countries, 500 of them, and we've reached the halfway point. Now we're going to complete it. But in Angola, because of the seriousness of the drought and people facing death, we have targeted to drill immediately 68 wells. And some friends said, in order for you to do that, we will match what people give. $326,000 they put up. Father, I pray everyone will literally get up and go online right now or go get their bank card or their checkbook and say, I'm going to write the check. I'm going to make the gift that you put on my heart knowing it's going to be matched. In Jesus' name. This is a very special opportunity. We're targeting 20 countries for the 500 wells. We've got a 68-well crisis, and we have the areas targeted. There is water there below the surface. In many areas, it's not too deep, so we can get it quickly. And we've got some friends who said, we'll match what you do. Thank you for being those friends who do that, but thank you for being the one who goes to the phone or goes online right now and says, here's the gift. Now, we have some gifts for you because we want to bless you and the children you love, but you are literally transforming a community by expressing love. When you give more than just a cup of water in Jesus' name, you're helping give a well of water. And we're going to tell them about the well of life, the water of life. We're going to show them that love, and I'm convinced they're going to receive it. Thank you for going to the phone. Thank you for going online. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail, or call us and tell us what you want on that bank card you use like a check. Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or face death from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill new water wells for those in need, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. And now, because of a miracle opportunity of a matching gift of over $326,000 for 68 new wells targeted in drought-stricken Angola, your gift can be doubled. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I've loved traveling all around the world with Life Outreach, being able to tell the stories of so many people. In many of the places that I've gone into, many children that I have heard stories about have died because of the water that they're drinking. And it really breaks your heart when you go into these places and you hear such stories and you think, what can I do? And this is my heart's cry to you to say, we need you. We need to continue to drill more and more and more wells so it will give water for life to thousands of more people just like this all over the world. Please, won't you help us? Go to the phone, go online, and help us bring life through water to these people.
Betty and I want to say thanks. You'll receive the children's book, Women at the Well, but if you would like to have Wendy's book, you're a prize to be won. You're a pearl of great price. I mean, God loves you. If you'd like to have it, you don't hesitate to ask. You help us give water. We want to bless you. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to Wendy? Wendy, you're a blessing to us.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
And we hope you were a blessing to that man we talked to. Hey, you did. God bless you, buddy. I was your friend, wasn't you? Thank all of you for watching. Thank you for being a friend to people who need water.
Being in Hollywood got me connected to life outside of the four walls of church.
Former contestant on NBC's The Voice, Anthony Evans, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.